All right. God bless you guys. Good morning. How many of you guys didn't get a shirt last week? I mean, a lot of you didn't get a shirt, but how many want one? And I mean, there was some real enthusiasm last week on Rachel. I'm going to try and get it as far as I can. Oh, it's just not going to happen. There you go. Evan did it. Right down here, there you go, right in the middle. Oh, okay, I got three more. See, I did them where they unfold. Oh man, that was perfect. And then here, see if that makes it too. All right, so here's what we're gonna do. We actually have had a lot of people ask us if they're going to have access to those, availability to those, and what we're going to do this week is actually go order a bunch. We're going to order them in girl cuts. We're going to order them in hoodies for the winter, and we're going to order some different colors, and they're going to be a little bit more apparel looking, and you can be proud of your church and wear those and have fun with those, and so we're going to get those out to you guys. Yeah, those will those will be available. Honey, can I throw you my phone? I'm not planning on taking any calls. Hey, so welcome to part two of an ongoing message series we're calling Stranger Things. And what we're really talking about is the kind of things that we don't often talk about in church because they happen to be kind of those weird things that maybe put people off a little bit, kind of the darker side of the spiritual world. And because it gets really convoluted with Hollywood and fable and folklore, we're not sure what to believe about it, and so what ends up happening is there's a lot of confusion about it, and where there's confusion, we tend to like to just stay away. When there's weirdness, we like to stay away. I'm going to be really honest with you. There's a topic, end times subjects, what's called eschatology, the end of the world. Those are areas that I tend not to get into a lot because they can be very intimidating for us, and it's probably something we should talk about because, you know, we're part of that story. No matter when that happens, we're part of the eschatology. We're part of the ramping up of that. And so, you know, it happens to be that ghosts and demons and the supernatural and the paranormal are all things that we tend to steer away from. Did you know that 9 out of 10, actually more than 90% of Americans, now this is actually globally true, but 90% of Americans believe in God or a form of God, a way of describing God. They believe in a higher spiritual being, but America identifies itself as a Christian nation, so the vast majority believe in some spectrum of the God that we believe in, right? About 80-something percent believe in heaven, so not everybody that believes in God actually believes in heaven, but here's something interesting. Less than 70% of Americans believe in demons or the devil. Now, let that sink in for a second. Almost all of us believe in God, but not all of us are sure that there's actually a devil, and that sort of makes a little bit of sense. Here's why. We love the idea that there's this higher power that's benevolent and kind and loving and wants to do good things for us and to us, and that's looking out for us and that's going to reward us for our good behavior and kind of nudge and wink when we misbehave, right? We kind of like that grandfatherly, loving idea of God up there. But we don't like the idea that there is a supernatural presence that is evil, that is malevolent, that is working against us and doing bad things to us. That doesn't sit as well with us. So you might be thinking, well, isn't it more important? I mean, if they have to believe in something, isn't it more important they believe in God than in the devil? And my answer would be no, and here's why. Because if you and I live our lives, if anyone lives their life believing in the presence of this benevolent being, and we as followers of Christ know it is the God of Abraham, know it is the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, we know who God is. But if you spend, even if you believe that there is, you believe in that God, you believe in his son, Jesus Christ, but you don't believe in a devil or you underestimate who the devil is, it makes you vulnerable to attack. It's as if as a nation, we simply denied that there were terrorists in the world. And we just said that there is no terrorist problem because there are no terrorists. Can you imagine how excited the terrorists would be to hear that that was our perspective? how many opportunities they would have to seize on our vulnerability because we don't believe in terrorism or in terrorists. That is the same problem that you and I have as followers of Christ if we, one, don't believe in the devil and his demons, and number two, underestimate or are misinformed about who he is and what he can do and what can be done through demonic power. Now, we don't really talk about this, do we? Around here, I like to keep things very bright and positive. I believe that that is the essence of the gospel. I believe that's the essence of why Jesus came, is to save us from hopelessness and save us from darkness. But because he saved us from darkness doesn't mean that we begin to deny that darkness exists, right? We have to know that there is an enemy who's not happy at all about our condition, our spiritual condition, which is saved. So we're going to start off and we're going to talk about just a couple misconceptions that you and I have, some misinformation about the devil and demons. You may not know, fill this into your notes, that demons are not equal with God. And so when I say demons, I'm using that interchangeably with the devil himself, okay? So there is the devil, Satan, Lucifer. He's a fallen angel. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And then there are demons, which are fallen angels not given names, okay? And so when I say devil and demons, we're going to use them interchangeably because they're in essence the same exact thing. So one of the biggest misconceptions and misleading information the enemy, Satan, would have you believe is that he and God are like Rocky and Apollo Creed. They're like these equally matched opponents and that they're just dueling it out for your soul. That's completely and entirely untrue. But if he can get you to believe that he is omniscient, which means he knows everything. He's in your head. He can hear what you're thinking. He knows exactly what you're going to do. If you believe that God is that Satan is omnipresent, that he's everywhere all the time, or that he is, what did I say? Omniscient, omnipresent, and what's the other omni? What? Omnipotent, thank you, all powerful. I feel like I'm in a presidential debate right now, and I can't remember the three things of government that I would get rid of. So I forgot who that was. That was a terrible, terrible thing. So huge. But anyway, that was a terrible Donald Trump impression. But that if we can believe that he is, if he can convince us and trick us into believing that he's all of those things, then it makes him feel like he is an opponent that cannot be outmatched by God. He begins to intimidate us and instill fear to us. But I want you to listen to this verse, Revelation 12, 7 through 9. Then there was a war in heaven. Michael, who is the archangel, by the way, and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But the dragon was not strong enough. He and his angels lost their place in heaven. The giant dragon who was thrown down out of heaven, and this is not something I added, this is in this translation, he is that old snake called the devil or Satan who tricks the whole world. So the dragon is referring specifically to Satan. The dragon with his angels was thrown down to earth. Simply says this, the devil and his angels created by God as part of the angelic force in heaven, rebelled against God and his angels, wanted to overthrow heaven, picked a fight they could not win. They were overpowered by the presence of God and the force of God's angels. It's important for you to recognize they picked a fight they could not win, and they got kicked out of heaven because of it. They haven't grown stronger since getting kicked out of heaven. They were cast down to earth. And listen, they haven't grown stronger as a result of that. It's not because they've been out of sight of God's supervision or something that God's allowed them to go from terroristic toddlers to terroristic adult demons. Listen to what the Bible says in James 2:19. You say you have faith that you believe there's one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. In other words, the demons know who God is. The demons believe in God. The demons absolutely know God is who God says he is. And listen, it says they tremble in fear because of him. There is absolutely no equality between God and demons. So demons are not the powerful thing that we give them credit for being sometimes. Number two is this, you may not know that demons aren't able to possess a true follower of Christ. This is one of those Hollywood myths and folklore and legend that, again, the enemy wants you to believe because it creates confusion. And where there's confusion, there's fear. And when there's fear, there's intimidation. And when there's intimidation, there's always power. I like watching. I've told you guys this. I'll get onto YouTube to find something specific that I need, and I'll spend the next hour just watching suggested videos, right? And I will love watching bully fails. You ever watched a bully fail video? It's where somebody tries to be a bully, and then they just, like, get knocked out. I love those. I hate bullies, and I love when bullies get what's coming to them. And there's always people who are just up in your face, and they're trying to overpower you, and they're trying to intimidate you. And I hate watching people tremble in weakness and tremble in fear because there's always somebody out there wanting to bully them. And that's exactly what the enemy is a big bully who wants you to believe that he can rule your life from the inside. But listen to what 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 16 says. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? I want you to hear this because normally we talk about this in the context of going into partnership, going into intimate relationship with, going into deep friendship with, dating or marrying somebody who is an unbeliever. The Bible absolutely forbids it because one is going to have a deep effect on the other. But I want you to hear it in the context of, Carissa? Oh, never mind. I thought maybe my cup was leaking, but it just seems to be water spilled over. What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are a temple of the living God. Here's what that means. You are a temple, as a follower of Christ, of the actual presence, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit himself. Did you know that? As a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit is present here on earth through and in you. You are a living temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, do you believe that the Holy Spirit is going to share his temple with an evil spirit? Do you believe that an evil... Jesus said it like this. I love the way Jesus said it. He says, "For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and plunder his house." Do you know what Jesus meant by that? He said that if you have a huge old buff dude, no one's going to come in and take his junk because you got to be bigger and buffer and stronger. You got to be yoked, right? As we say at the gym. I don't know if you guys know, I've been working out a little, but hard to get my arms down to my side. I've been working on my fluxopacitors. I don't know what those things are called. But anyway, you've got to be bigger and stronger. And here's what Scripture's telling us. Nothing is bigger, nothing is stronger, nothing has more authority, nothing has more power than the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Therefore, as a true follower of Christ, you cannot be possessed by a demon. All right, number three, misconception. You may not know that demons, that they aren't able to make you do anything against your will. Now, it's convenient and it's fun to sort of say, well, the devil made me do it. We like to imagine just this little, we got a good angel. We try to listen to the good angel, but we got that little devil, and he sure is convincing, and he sure is fun, and he sure knows how to have a good time, and he sure knows how to put the things in front of us that we want to do. But I want you to hear this. There is nothing you've ever done that you didn't want to do, and that you didn't need help from the devil to do it. Satan does not have the ability to overcome your willpower. Listen to what it says, James 4:7. So submit yourselves to the one true God. In other words, yield your will to God's will and fight against the devil and his schemes. If you do, he will run away in failure. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And that sort of leads us into now knowing what we need to know about the devil and his demons. So now that we've got some of the big misconceptions out of the way, let's quickly go through three things you should know as a believer. What I need to know about demons is that, number one, they are more powerful than I am, so I need to have a secret weapon. Now you just go, wait a second, you just talked about how they didn't have all this power. And no. I didn't say they weren't powerful. I didn't even say they weren't more powerful than you. I said they weren't more powerful than God. They are more powerful than you. Listen to what Matthew 12, 29 says. This is Jesus speaking. He said, you made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them. He's referring to us as men and women. You made men and women a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Now, that actually is a good thing. It's talking about the honor that God gives us, that we are creations of God, that we're beautiful, amazing creations of God, that God created us in his image. But he created us a little lower with less authority, with less power than the angels. Now, we have access to salvation. We have access into being siblings with Jesus himself. These are things that the angels don't. There's a lot we get to do that the angels don't get to do. We get to choose in a relationship with Jesus, okay? So there's a lot of amazing things that we don't share with angels, but here's the one thing you need to recognize. Satan and his angels, Satan and his demons are that. They're fallen angels, but because they're fallen doesn't mean they're less powerful. The Bible actually describes the strength of angels, that they have the strength of a legion of men, 70,000 men, one angel. We should be, in fact, incredibly intimidated. Without the power of Christ in our lives, we should be incredibly intimidated and incredibly fearful of the power of a demon in our life. If a demon has his eyes set on you and his target set on you, you should be absolutely terrified if you're not a follower of Christ. That's why you and I have to have a weapon in our lives that's not only stronger than us, but stronger than angels and demons. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke 10:19. This is Jesus giving us this authority. Listen, I have given you power over all the powers of the one who works against you. That's a huge relief for you and I. That makes sure that you and I don't show up to a gunfight with a knife. You and I would enter every battle unprepared, underqualified, under-equipped, under-ready. You and I would have stand no chance against demonic powers. I didn't include it, but there's this great story in the Bible. I've actually told you about it before, the seven sons of Sceva. And they're these seven guys who really think they're dynamic followers of Christ, but they really don't have the authority of Christ. They just want to pretend to be like, they want to be big shots, and they saw how much power and authority all these disciples had and how they could cast out demons. And so they go and they try to cast out a demon, and this demon-possessed man wails on them, just beats the snot out of all seven of them, sends them running away naked. Perfect example of trying to go up against demonic power, not prepared with the authority of Christ in your life. But you, as a true believer, as a true follower of Christ, and this is a point where you may want to go, holy cow, am I a true believer? Am I a true follower of Christ? Because I'm starting to get a little bit scared. That's good. That's good for you and I, right? That's good. It's like finding out that there's been burglaries in your neighborhood. And you go, yeah, we should probably start locking the front door when we go to the, yeah, we might want to invest in a security system. We might want to get some cameras around our house. We might want to invest in some home protection in the form of something that goes shooty, shooty, bang, bang. We might want to start preparing ourselves. I like shooty, bang, bang things. Anyway, you and I have authority. Listen to what it says in 1 John 4:4. My dear children, you belong to God and you have defeated them, powers that work against Christ, because God's Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, who is in you is greater than the devil who is in the world. You and I have zero ability to go up against demonic power without the authority of Christ in our life, but with the authority of Christ in your life, you have nothing to fear. Now, let's move on to number two, because this is important. What I need to know about demons is that they can attack me and afflict me, so I need to put up a strong defense. They can attack me and afflict me. Now, just because demonic spirits cannot possess you, which means come into you, does not mean that demonic spirits cannot oppress you, work from the outside to afflict you, to attack you. And I want you to hear this. They will. You cannot avoid it, whether you're a follower of Christ or not a follower of Christ. Demonic power is to do one thing. We have it on the banners right here. And the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what demonic power is there to do in your life. It is not the respecter of anything in your life. It doesn't care if you have children. It doesn't care if you're white, black, heavy. It doesn't care if you're old or young. It doesn't care what nationality you are. A demonic spirit has one mission in your life, and that is to destroy you. Now, that should not intimidate you as a follower of Christ to know that you're under attack. Because if you walk in the authority of Christ and you've prepared yourself to defend yourself against demonic power, then you have nothing to fear because you can successfully win every single time. Here's how I know that. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, brothers and sisters, draw your strength and your might from God. Put on the full armor of God to protect yourself from the devil and his evil schemes. Do you want to know why you do this? It's because the enemy is out to attack you and you have to prepare. We're not waging war against enemies of the flesh and blood alone. No, this fight is against tyrants, against authorities, against supernatural powers and demon princes that slither in the darkness of this world and against wicked spiritual armies that lurk about in heavenly places. That's not talking about heaven. That's talking about spiritual realms. And this is why you need to be head to toe in the full armor of God so that you can resist during these evil days and be fully prepared to hold your ground. You know what that says? You're not fighting a political battle. You're not fighting against people. You are fighting against spiritual authorities and power that truly want to destroy you. Can I tell you this? Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton will not destroy this nation. But a bunch of weak-kneed people that will not stand up to demonic power, that's what will destroy this nation. You and I standing firm in the gospel, standing firm in our authority of Christ, and taking back what the devil stole from us, that's going to reclaim our nation. That's going to return things to, that's going to move us towards being a godly nation. I don't know that we'll ever get back the things that we all seem to treasure and love, and there's nothing wrong with having affinity and affection for those things. What I'm telling you is, your fight as a follower of Christ does not take place in the polling booth. It takes place on your knees, preparing yourself to battle against things that want to destroy you and your family. What do you think? That was 30% that applauded on that one? Let me pick back. We'll just get back into scripture. That seems to be where I'm safe. Yes, stand. Truth banded around your waist. Righteousness as your chest plate. Your feet protected in the preparation to proclaim the good news of peace. Don't forget to raise the shield of faith above all else so that you'll be able to extinguish the flaming spear is hurled at you from the wicked one. Take also the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, capital S, the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the word of God. Do you hear the intentionality that from your feet to your most vulnerable area, your soft spot, that soft belly where all of your internal organs are, to the chest plate of righteousness, to your helmet of salvation, to that sword. You have to not only be prepared to defend yourself, but be prepared to attack. And then third and finally is this. What I need to know about demons is that they can tempt me, so I need to be prepared to resist. One of the greatest tools that the enemy has over you is to simply keep you defeated. To keep you run down, to keep you exhausted, to keep you feeling spiritually condemned, to keep you feeling like you're not worthy to be in a relationship with Christ, that somehow you don't have access to the grace of Christ because of how badly you're doing. James 1:14 says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. So you go, that doesn't sound like there's any demonic activity there at all. It sounds like it's us that screws up our lives. It's absolutely true. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Problem is, you want to do it. That's why it's called temptation. I've never been tempted by broccoli, ever. Ever. I don't sneak down to the refrigerator and pop Brussels sprouts. It never happens. I haven't gotten caught by Lisa sneaking off to the gym. None of that tempts me. She has caught me at 1 a.m. with a big bowl of Cap'n Crunch just standing in the dark, milk running down my chin like a raccoon that got caught going through a garbage can. That's happened before. You and I, listen, are victims of our own desire to indulge our flesh. And do you think after thousands and thousands and thousands of years of the devil and his demons studying human behavior, he doesn't know your thoughts, he just knows what he watches you do. He knows what websites you go to, he knows what shows you watch, he knows how you talk to your coworkers at work. He watches your behavior, and all he needs to do is watch for a month, and he's already picked up on what your temptation is. Imagine what he does after watching humanity for thousands and thousands of years. Do you think that the enemy doesn't know how to lay traps in front of you? You think he doesn't know where to put the bowl of Cap'n Crunch? You think he doesn't know that you have no desire? I'm never going to become a drug addict. I'm literally not attracted. There's nothing in me that desires that. That's not my temptation. Somebody else's, it's not mine. But do you think that the enemy hasn't watched my life closely? Do you think he doesn't watch for what will set me up for failure? Do you think he doesn't want to see me fall flat on my face and hope against all things that I stay down there on my face, embarrassed, humiliated, broken, defeated, and that I don't want to get up? Because guess what? If it's a true temptation, it won't happen just once. It'll happen again. And he'll lay out another trap and it'll happen again. And he's not pushing me into it. He doesn't have a rope around my neck. He's not forcing me into it. Just like you, he's laying traps right in front of all of us and we're tripping, we're falling into those. I'm gonna give you three very, very quick things that'll guarantee that we can stand up against temptation. Familiarity with God's word. I've thought much about your words and stored them in my heart so that they would hold me back from sin. David said, I've studied your word. I have a familiarity with your word. I love your word. And because I love it and I have it ready for me, I'm able to stand against temptation. Second thing is determination through prayer. Luke 22:40. When Jesus reached the place, he said to them, his disciples, pray for strength against temptation. Who would have thunk it? Pray that you won't be tempted. Problem is, you and I love our temptations. We like the things that we're getting in trouble with. That's why we don't often pray against them. Pray that God gives you a bitter hatred towards the things that you love that separate you from him. And then third is intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Here's my instruction. Walk in the Spirit, capital S, and let the Spirit, capital S, bring order to your life. You know why sin prevails is because there's no spiritual order. Because we've let our lives get into spiritual chaos. Because we've let everything tell us what our priorities are instead of telling everything what our priorities are. Let the Spirit bring order to your life. If you do, you will never give in to your selfish and sinful cravings. I love the word never there. I don't like when people use when people sit down with me and they're having trouble in their marriage and they use always and never. Those are dangerous words because they generalize everything. They just push all things. But I love it right here where it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will never give in to your sinful cravings. Wow. That's a promise you and I can take to the bank. Familiarity with God's word. Determination through prayer. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, it would not matter how many things I described about demons or the devil today, how powerful I made him appear. And I want you to get this. He is powerful. But it's almost a moot conversation. It's almost irrelevant to talk about how powerful he is in contrast to how powerful you are when you walk in the authority of a relationship with Jesus Christ, in the authority of having the Holy Spirit guide your life. Walking in the Spirit gives you the boldness, not the arrogance. Arrogance, well, pride comes before the fall. You'll fall every time if you believe that you don't have to be on your guard. The moment you and I stop looking behind us, stop looking around us, stop with situational awareness, that we just think, you know what? I live in this bubble of protection. You live in a bubble of favor that the enemy's trying to get you out of. You live under a bubble of blessing and salvation and grace, and the enemy would love nothing more than to trip you up and get you outside of that bubble. He wants to get you out of the umbrella of God's favor and God's grace. He wants to distance you from God by making you feel so terrible, so guilty, so condemned that you can't even be in the presence of God. Because the Bible tells us there is no power in heaven or hell. There is no angel or demon that can separate us from the love of God. Can I tell you the one thing powerful enough to do it? You. The same free will you use to begin a relationship with God is the same free will you can use to get out of a relationship with God. And the only reason that you and I do that is because we have gotten so far into our flesh that we no longer have room for the Holy Spirit. Our flesh just keeps strangling the presence of the Holy Spirit until finally he says, I get it. You don't want me here. That's only if the devil wins. It's only if we keep walking into his trap that we just go out naked into the world, not protected, not geared up, not holding a sword of God's truth in our life. Ignorance of God's word, distance in prayer, and a lack of intimacy with the Holy Spirit will guarantee you fail time after time after time until you are completely defeated, until the enemy has stolen everything, killed, destroyed life in you. There's no light left in you. That's the enemy's goal in your life. That's why you as a follower of Christ need to know exactly who demons are and what they can do. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I just want you to have an opportunity just to respond. You say, well, how am I supposed to respond to that? If you're already a follower of Christ, and I'm going to pray with you in just a second, if you are not yet a follower of Christ, I want to give you this opportunity. This is not you joining this church. This is not you accepting an invitation from me. This is Jesus Christ sitting knee to knee, face to face with you, your hands in his hands, and him looking you straight in the eye, and him saying this, I want you to know how much I love you. You may be surprised to find out I already know everything there is to know. I know more about you than you know about yourself. I've seen everything you've ever done. And I know that brings you shame and embarrassment. You feel condemned. You feel judged. But I want you to know I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. The word says that Jesus knocks at the door of our heart. And if we'll open it to him, he will come in and abide in us. He'll take up place in your life. He'll come begin intimate relationship with you. If you're not yet a follower of Christ, would you just as an outward sign of an inward decision, I'm not going to ask you to do anything that's going to embarrass you at all. This is between you and me. Would you just lift your hand up and say, yeah, I want to begin a relationship with Christ. Thank you. Thanks. Can I ask this, if you're already a follower of Christ and you'd say this, I don't want to go into tomorrow or even the rest of today unprepared, vulnerable, exposed. I want to have intimacy with God's word and intimacy in prayer and intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to, with God's authority, with God's presence, protect myself from head to toe, because I know the enemy has set up traps for me, set up failure for me, set up attacks against me. I don't want to underestimate him. I don't want to overestimate myself. I need God desperately. I want more of God in my life so I can resist the enemy's attempts to destroy me. I want to take this seriously. If that's you, would you just lift your hand and say, yeah, I want to prepare myself against all of his plans. Father, thank you for letting us have a serious conversation about something that intimidates us, even confuses us sometimes. Thank you for bringing us here and letting people be willing to engage in this conversation. But more importantly, thank you for giving us the opportunity, the equipment, the power, the authority, giving us all that we need to go up against the enemy. We don't need to be intimidated. As long as we understand where our power comes from and how we prepare ourselves, we need you desperately. We need to know you through your word. We need to know you through prayer. We need to know you through walking through the authority and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let that journey begin in us and through us today, this afternoon, with this determination and this commitment. In Jesus' name, amen.